Good morning, everyone. Today in this talk, I will talk about Shredder. This Shredder is a generic framework for redundancy elimination. And in this work, we make use of Shredder to accelerate both incremental storage and computation. This is a joint work with my advisor, Rodrigo Rodriguez, and Akshat Verma from IBM Research India. So to start with, first I would motivate why we need to accelerate redundancy elimination. So the motivation stems from the fact that data stored in data centers is growing at a very fast pace. This data deluge presents a challenge in terms of how to efficiently store and process this data. One of the key techniques to address this challenge is redundancy elimination. Therefore, there exists a series of proposals which tries to eliminate redundancies both from storage as well as computations. In particular, incremental storage solutions performs data deduplications before storing the data, and that way duplicates data blocks need not to be stored. Similarly, incremental computation solutions tries to exploit the fact or the observation that successive runs of a data processing jobs runs with only small changes in the input. So the key idea behind incremental computation is that first they try to detect changes in the input and then selectively re-execute part of the computation which has been affected by the change input. So in a nutshell, redundancy elimination helps us to save both storage and computational resources. Although it is useful, redundancy elimination is computationally expensive. Let me tell you why. So redundancy elimination can be think of as a three-stage process where in the first stage, the file is divided into chunks. And for each chunk, a hash is computed. And finally, this hash is matched in one index to detect duplicates. The core computational intensive task in this pipeline is chunking. One of the state of art of doing chunking is based on content-based chunking, which was proposed at SOSP 2001. The idea of content-based chunking is that the file is divided into chunks based on the content of the file itself instead of dividing it in a fixed size offset. That way, content-based chunking can efficiently handle small insertion and deletion in the data. Let me illustrate with an example how it works. We scan the, for a given stream of bytes, we scan the data and looking for a content marker. In particular, what we do is we scan the data in sliding window manner where for a window, we compute a fingerprint or a rolling hash. We compare the output of hash with a predefined content marker. If it matches, then we define it as a chunk boundary. And we repeat this for full data set. So as you can imagine, for large data set, chunking can easily become a computational bottleneck. And therefore, as we get flooded with increasing amount of data, addressing this computational bottleneck becomes a pressing issue in the way the storage system's designed today. So in this work, we want to overcome this computational bottleneck, and we thought of using, we accelerate chunking using GPUs. So why GPUs? Since GPUs are cost-effective and provides a very high computational power, they have been successfully adopted by the HPC community to accelerate compute-intensive tasks. And we also thought, let's do that way. So to show the quick benefits of using GPUs in the context of chunking, consider this plot where on y-axis I show throughput of chunking in GBPS, and on x-axis, I compare two implementations, one with multicore and the other is GPU-based design. I will get into the implementation detail later, but for the time being, consider the throughput that we are getting using GPU-based design. So we can see that the GPU-based design is twice as faster than the multicore-based implementation. However, If you consider any storage servers which currently exist in the market, they have a very high I/O bandwidth. And this, we get 2x speed up with the GPU-based design, which shows the untapped potential of using GPUs in the context of accelerating chunking. This gain is not sufficient to saturate the I/O bandwidth. So why this gap exists here? So the reason, So the gap is due to the fact that GPUs are inherently designed for compute-intensive tasks, where scientific applications can be easily leverage this gains of using GPUs, whereas chunking is more data intensive as compared to the compared to scientific applications. And as a result, this is using GPUs in the context of data intensive environment presents new challenges. In this talk, I will talk about how we use GPUs in case of a data intensive settings, which is kind of quite different usage of GPUs from the previous in case of scientific applications. So in the rest of the talk, I will first talk about the basic design, the way the scientific applications have been ported on GPUs, and for which I showed the gain. And in order to understand the challenges in terms of using GPUs for data-intensive task, I will first explain the GPU architecture and programming model, and then I will talk about the challenges which arises in case of data-intensive environment settings, and the optimizations that we implemented in order to overcome these challenges. Then I will cover the evaluation, where I will try to show how far we succeed in bridging the gap that I showed in the first slide. And finally, I will talk about case studies. In particular, we built two systems using Shredder, one for computation and for the storage. In particular, we built an incremental MapReduce system to accelerate incremental computations. And for storage, we built a cloud backup system using Shredder. So let's start with the basic design. So the basic design of Shredder consists of four main modules. They are reader, thread, transfer, chunking kernel, and store. The reader, transfer, and store modules runs on the CPU or the host machine, and a chunking kernel runs on the GPU. So in this basic design, reader model reads the data from IO device and puts the data in memory of host machine, which is then picked up by the transfer module and which transfers this data into the GPU. And finally, once the data transfer is finished, chunking kernel operates on this data to find the chunk boundaries, and once the chunk boundaries have been found for all data, the store thread picks up these chunk boundaries and give it to the application which is using our Shredder library. So as I said, this is the way the traditional compute-intensive tasks have been offloaded to the GPU, and why this basic design doesn't scale. In order to understand that, I'll explain you the bit of background on GPU architecture and the how do you program GPUs. So GPU can be think of as a very massively parallel computing platform, which acts as an additional computing platform for the CPU. So GPUs are connected to CPUs using a PCI bus, and a GPU can be modeled as a set of multiprocessors, where each multiprocessor has a consists of a lot of scalar processors, which are depicted in a figure using SP. All these scalar processors share a very fast-paced memory called shared memory. In addition to this shared memory, GPU also have a global device memory. So the important point to note over here is that the CPU can only access the global device memory, not the shared memory. So whatever data it wants to ship it to GPU for computation needs to go into the device memory. So the basic difference between the CPU and GPU architecture is that in GPUs, more number of transistors are used to build computing power unit or ALU units, and hence, GPUs are inherently designed for compute-intensive tasks, not for the data-intensive task. So let's look how do you program GPUs. So consider whatever the application you want to for which you want to accelerate GPU using GPU, you need to divide the application into two halves, one which runs on the host or the CPU, and one which runs on the compute-intensive part runs on the GPU. So the data which wants to be pushed into the GPU first is transferred from main memory of the host to the global device memory. Thereafter, the CPU launches a kernel or a bunch of threads which acts on this data in parallel. So these threads are dynamically scheduled on one of the scalar processors by the GPU runtime. These threads have two options of fetching the data. One is they can directly operate on this data from the global device memory, or they can choose to bring this data into this shared memory so that they can reuse it for faster access. And once they process this data, they push this results back to the host memory. So after covering this brief background, I want to talk about some of the challenges that this basic programming model faces when we try to accelerate chunking using GPUs. In particular, in this work, we address three main challenges in addition to some small hacks. But for this talk, I will just cover the first two challenges. I will ask readers to look into the paper for more details. So let's start with the first challenge. So the first challenge is about host device communication bottleneck. So as I said, in the basic design, we have a transfer thread which is responsible for moving the data from main memory to the device global memory through a PCI bus. As you can see that the reader threads reads the data from through an IO device, which is kind of a very fast as compared to the PCI bus, which is very slow. So this becomes a bottleneck because in the basic design, the transfer thread has this synchronous execution with the chunking kernel. So once the transfer thread pushes this data into the GPU, and then only the chunking kernel can operate on this data. As you can see, since the chunking kernel is not very compute intensive as compared to the scientific applications, the cost of data transfer is roughly comparable to the kernel execution itself. And the synchronous execution becomes a bottleneck because this data is not transferred as fast as possible. And moreover, since this device global memory can't fit all the data, for large data, we need to do multiple data transfer over the slow PCI bus. So to overcome this challenge, we proposed asynchronous execution. The idea is very simple, is that we divide this device global memory into two buffers, two equal size buffers, where we reuse these buffers in an alternate fashion for communication and computation. So what we do is we do an asynchronous copy this on one of the buffers, while in background GPU is operating on the other data on the other buffer. That way, this design can overlap communication with computation so that we can hide the DMA latencies over the PCI bus. The other advantage of this design is that we can easily generalize this design to multi-buffering approach, where instead of dividing the device memory in two buffers, we can simply divide it by four equal size buffers. So at any point of time, we have multiple buffers pending through the DMA engine. However, there are some disadvantages of using asynchronous execution. In particular, to be able to support this asynchronous execution, we need to allocate the buffers in host as a pinned memory region. As we know that since allocating a pinned memory buffer region is an order of magnitude higher as compared to allocating a pageable buffer. This is due to the fact that in order to support this asynchronous DMA execution, the host has to find, or the operating system has to find a set of contiguous pages in physical memory and lock them. So to overcome this drawback, we came up with this circular ring pin memory buffer optimization, where the idea is that we allocate fixed number of pin memory buffers, which are allocated during the system initialization. And as the data comes from the reader thread, they are allocated as in pageable buffers. And finally, we have to do an additional mem copy from pageable buffers to the pin memory regions. So you can see that we pay some additional cost in terms of doing a mem copy from pageable to pin buffer region. But our evaluation results shows that this overhead is negligible as compared to the overhead of allocating a pin memory region. So I covered the first challenge of host device communication bottleneck there, and we proposed two techniques over there. One is asynchronous execution and the other is circular pin memory region. Next, I want to move to the second challenge, which is about device memory conflict. So let me tell you what is it. So as I said, we overcome the first bottleneck about the PCI bus. In the second phase, we want to overcome the bottleneck of chunking kernel accessing the data from device global memory. So why this is a bottleneck? Let me explain you a bit more in detail. So suppose a chunking kernel comprises of four threads, right? And these threads wants to act on the data which is residing in global device memory. So the way it works right now is that these threads get scheduled on one of the Scalar processors, and these Scalar processors fetches this data for their sliding window computations from the device global memory. So as you can see that for every window slide, we need to pay a cost of roughly around 400 to 600 cycles. Whenever a window moves, the Scalar processes fetches this data from the device global memory, which is having a high latencies. So alternatively, what we can do is we can use the device shared memory, where we first get the data from device global memory to the device shared memory. And since this device shared memory is very fast as compared to device global memory, we can do the sliding window computations more efficiently. So, however, it turns out that fetching the data from device global memory to the shared memory for faster execution leads to a lot of memory bank conflicts. So what is memory bank conflict? This is the phenomena where two threads try to access the same memory bank, and which leads to memory bank conflict, and these memory access requests are serialized. So how it happens? So what happens is when the thread tries to access the data in completely isolation or in an uncoordinated fashion, they end up hitting the same bank because there are thousands of threads acting on this data and there is no coordinations. So as a result of this uncoordinated access to the global memory, which leads to a lot of memory bank conflicts. So let me explain why it happens. So as like any other memory structure, the device global memory of GPU is also structured as set of banks where the data is interleaved across these banks in a round robin fashion. So whenever a thread tries to access the memory, the controller, what it does basically, it based on the lower significant bits, chooses one of the banks, it enables one of the banks, and based on the most significant bits, it serves the request of one of the memory addresses. Now, if two threads tries to access the same memory bank, which leads to a serialization effect. But on the other hand, if four threads tries to access this data to completely different banks, then you can get a very high throughput because these requests will be served in parallel by different memory banks, right? So as I said, in the basic design, when threads are accessing data from device global memory to the shared memory, there was no coordination, and which resulted into a lot of memory bank conflicts. So to overcome this, what we did was we let threads coordinate with each other. So the idea is, again, very simple here, where let's say a bunch of threads, four threads, wants to access their piece of data. So all threads first helps the first thread so that they can help this, so that they help the consecutive words to be accessed by the different threads. And once they help fetching this data from shared memory to device memory to global memory to shared memory, they move on to help the other thread. So that way this coordination, the way the coordination helps us to avoid the memory bank conflict is that since this coordinated access goes to the different memory banks and which leads to very high throughput. So same way, once the first block has been fetched by all threads, then they move the second block for the data, and same way they access the subsequently blocks. Once the data is fetched for all the threads, these threads can work completely in isolation for their individual piece of data. So then they can work in isolation for their sliding window computations. So in summary, what I proposed is to address these two challenges, we proposed to one asynchronous execution technique and the other one is memory coalescing thing. Now I want to move to the evaluation. So the goal of our evaluation was to determine how Shredder works in practice. In particular, we wanted to answer two questions. How effective are the optimizations that we performed? And how does it compares with the multi-cores? For that, we implemented Shredder in a hybrid model where the components for the host drivers were written in C++, and for GPU part, we used CUDA. And for evaluation, we used NVIDIA Tesla card, and for host machine, we used an Intel Xeon architecture with 12 cores. So In this talk, I won't be able to go into the individual gains for the optimizations and their effectiveness, so I will ask readers to look into the paper for details. So coming back to the comparison with the shredder of with the multi-core architectures, the first two plots, on y-axis, I show the throughput in terms of GBPS. And the first two bars are the bars from the introductory slide where the basic design and the multi-core based design. So for that, we can get almost 2x speed up. And the next two bars, the blue bar shows with the optimization of asynchronous execution, and the red bar shows the gains with the asynchronous execution and the memory coalescing. So with our Go gains, we can get almost 5 times the speed up as compared to the multi-core based implementation. And this way, we can bridge this gap for the I/O, and that way we can saturate the I/O bottleneck, which was there with the basic design. This also shows the fact that GPUs can be used in the data-intensive settings as well. So as I said, in addition to this shredder, building this shredder, we use shredder to build two systems, basically. We used shredder to build incremental MapReduce systems, which can enable incremental computations, and we also built a cloud backup system to show the gains in case for incremental storage. So for this talk, I won't be able to go into details of storage part, but I will cover briefly about the incremental MapReduce part. In this work, we showed that for both these systems that we built using shredder, Shredder helps us to accelerate both incremental storage and computations, and giving up good performance for the end-to-end completion times. So I want to go through the basic for the incremental computation, what we did for using incremental MapReduce. So the idea of incremental MapReduce is, at a very high level, is that often the data processing jobs which runs in data centers runs with small changes in the input. So that way, what you can do is you can keep track of dependencies between the task and the data, and do a selective re-execution. When certain part of the input changes, you re-execute only the part which is affected by the change input. So that way, here if you see, the circles are represented by tasks are represented by circles, and data, the dependencies are represented by edges in this graph. And when certain part of the input is modified, we execute only the path which is there in the orange color. And for rest of this task, we can simply reuse their previous results from previous execution. As you can imagine, that the data which is read in the for the map task from the HDFS or the Hadoop file system can lead to unstable input partitions, because HDFS does of this fixed size chunking, which can't handle this small insertion and deletion in the data. So in previous slide, I showed how we handle this small modifications, but if certain part of input has been inserted, this insertion with the fixed size chunking leads to append, offsets everything by the amount of data which is inserted. And this way, all tasks after the insertions, the results for all the tasks after the insertion can't be reused, because this fixed size chunking leads to unstable input partitions. So to overcome this, we proposed a GPU-accelerated incremental HDFS. The idea is that when the data file is uploaded in the HDFS, we, instead of doing a fixed size chunking, we do content-based chunking, where we modified the HDFS client to use shredder library, and this way we can handle small insertion and deletion in the data. So there are more results about how this incremental MapReduce framework works, how much gains do we get. I'll ask readers to look into the paper for details. Briefly, I want to go over the related work also. Since GPUs have been used in HPC community in and out in the last 6 years, the system community has also looked into the GPUs for accelerating different parts of the systems. In particular, thus in storage, we have two systems called Gibraltar Software Controlled RAID and Hash GPU Library, which was proposed at HPDC 2010 for accelerating MD5 based hash computations. However, both this work are not built for large scale data, which we addressed in our work. In addition to this, there are some work for accelerating the crypto parts, namely in SSL Shader. But mostly these, they offloaded more compute intensive tasks as compared to the what Shredder does. And next, also want to talk about incremental computations part, since modifying the output incrementally is more efficient than recomputing everything from scratch. There are a series of proposals for doing incremental computations. Our system helps, it's kind of complementary to this system because it helps them to detect changes in the input. So that way, Shredder accelerates both these, all these solutions as well. So to conclude, in our work, we proposed Shredder. Shredder is a GPU-accelerated framework for redundancy elimination. In this work, we used GPUs in a cost-effective manner to get a gain very high throughput. Shredder design incorporates several novel optimizations, which makes it possible to operate in data intensive settings as compared to the previous usages of GPUs. And finally, we used Shredders to accelerate two storage systems for both incremental storage and computations. And that's all for my talk. I would be happy to take questions now. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Fabiano. I'm the Data Domain File System Group, EMCBRS. I would like to understand a little bit your baseline, because if you compare OpenSSL implementation for SHA-1 computation, you can get 350 megabytes per second in a single core. And if you're using 12 threads and you're getting like 500, are you using all the 12 threads to compute and get that 500?
Yeah, so we parallelized this rapid fingerprinting computations using pthread implementation, and we are using all 5 threads, all 12 threads of code.
So it means that each thread is getting about 45 megabytes per second?
Yes.
So that seems pretty modest. Are you using the vectorized instructions?
No, there are no nothing vectorization that we did for this multi-threaded implementations.
I see. So I think your 5x is not real. And also, if you
For GPU, we vectorize the code, but for CPU-based implementation, we didn't.
What I meant is, if you optimize your baseline the same way you did for your GPU optimizations, you may realize that you can get the same throughput that you're getting with GPU. That's what I meant.
I would disagree in terms of this, that the CPU's part is not easily vectorizable, so Intel-based cores are not suited for vector computations, whereas GPUs, which follows this single instruction multiple threads architecture, can be easily vectorized. So there is a trade-off in how well you can do for GPU vectorization as compared to multi-core based implementations.
Yeah, but try the OpenSSL implementation. You're going to see that you can get the.
It's probably a good idea to take the question offline.
Yeah. Thanks. I will look into this. Thanks.
Brent Callahan, Apple. You mentioned that you're doing the chunking inside the GPU. You're also doing the hash computation inside the GPU?
No, that's not part of the GPU Shredder library, which it just simply reports these chunk boundaries, and these hash computations are handled by the CPU. But in theory, you can do that at GPU as well. But the current implementation doesn't do that.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'm Shinpei Kato from UC Santa Cruz. I actually working in the Linux GPU driver community, so this work is really fascinating to me because you work on data intensive computing. On the other hand, usually GPUs have been used for compute intensive, as you mentioned. But there may be some misconception. Even in HPC community, there are some work in data intensive computing, right? So like Amazon recently used GPUs for their cloud computing and MapReduce, the HPC community still is also seeking for how you can use GPUs for accelerating MapReduce. So can you differentiate?
Yes, I can. Yeah, that's a very good question. Actually, thanks for bringing this up. I want to make some differences in terms of what's the difference between the scientific computations. So often the scientific computations have the algorithm complexities order of n cube or n square, whereas in case of chunking, this is linear time algorithm. So if you're doing something like N-cube algorithm, mm-hmm. then the cost of data transfers are kind of very slow as compared to the computation that you are performing. Whereas in case of GPU, in case of chunking, this algorithm is only linear time, but the constants are very high. So that's why it's both compute and data intensive, but there is a difference in terms of the algorithm complexity.
I see. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Thanks a lot.